Today on Seculo, is the New York Times the new mouthpiece for the IRS? Why does the left love federal law enforcement these days? We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome to Seculo. We're taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. A new piece by the New York Times. They blast Republicans for, quote, unfounded conspiracy theories about the IRS. They just have a short memory at the New York Times because of our case, the Linchpins for Liberty, where the IRS admitted to a federal court that they did in fact target groups because of their backgrounds, because of their views, because of their names sounded like conservative groups, because they had liberty, freedom, life, constitution. And then, the New York Times says, but and they acknowledge that in their article, that those groups were targeted. But they say, well, there were some other progressive groups. The only progressive groups that were in this were because they had those kind of terms in their name. And guess what? Once they found out they were progressive groups, do you think that they had a problem getting their tax exempt status?
None.
No. None of the progressive groups had to file in court to get their tax exempt status reviewed. I mean, Dad, that's what people have to remember. This was so bad that they could not get an answer from the IRS. It wasn't even like the IRS said, no, now I need to appeal. The IRS just froze them all out.
So let's go through the history of this because, I mean, the New York Times headline, of course, is totally incorrect and misleading. But let's go through the history of what really was going on here. Because I think when you understand the history, you're going to understand what really is taking place. So the IRS, refused to grant recognition to a series of conservative groups. In fact, as Jordan said, refused to respond to these groups when their applications, it's called a Form 1023, is filed seeking IRS tax exempt status. And then when they did respond, after response coming from the taxpayer, the tax exempt organization, we find out that the IRS has actually set up a system that a be on the lookout list, BOLO list, that said if names like Liberty, Freedom, Constitution, these names are in organizations' names, they need to be handled specially. They targeted, so the New York Times is absolutely incorrect. Here's what the Times said. The Times said Republicans who have long accused the IRS of unfairly targeting conservatives, and I'm saying Republicans have long accused the IRS. The IRS, and I'm holding the order in my hand that we obtained in federal court, section paragraph 40. The IRS admits that its treatments of the plaintiffs, and these were like 40 tax-exempt organizations, all conservative, during the tax-exempt determination process, including screening their applications based on their names or policy positions, subjecting those applications to heightened scrutiny and inordinate delays, and demanding of some plaintiffs information that the inspector general for the IRS determined was unnecessary to the agency's determination of their tax-exempt status was wrong. For such treatment, the IRS expresses its sincere apology, as did the main culprit of all this, Lois Lerner. Let's play what she said.
They used names like Tea Party or Patriots, and they selected cases simply because the application had those names in the title. That was wrong. The IRS would like to apologize for that.
All right, so we didn't accept an apology. We went to federal court, two cases, one in District of Columbia, D.C., one in Ohio, obtained monetary judgment, millions of dollars for our clients in the case in Ohio, and then got a declaratory judgment, a consent order by the IRS acknowledging the wrongdoing and putting procedures in place. So these headlines are wrong. And now you're going to give an agency that's incapable of self-correcting 87,000 new agents. Folks, that's exactly why the ACLJ exists. Now, I want to say something. We are in our matching challenge campaign. And I asked our team today how far we were behind last year. So this date last year, as of this morning, we're $135,587.02 behind where we were last year at this time. We really need your support. We want to close that gap, Jordan. We need people to stand with us.
Yeah, we do. And support the work of the ACLJ because we've got our matching challenge. If you can, this is a great time to donate because you double the impact of your donation. So you donate $50 right now at ACLJ.org. That's like 100 for us. Donate today, ACLJ.org. We'll be right back. welcome back to Seculo. And we are taking your phone calls too. 1-800-684-3110. We know the IRS is doubling in size. I hope you know Facebook is flagging people and social media accounts are flagging people because, well, some of the people that will be hired, the new 80,000 gun-toting agents ready to shoot to kill, as the IRS website said, some of those people will be replacing people that retire this year. Okay, 80,000 people aren't retiring this year from the IRS. So it's not like replacing A with A. This is doubling the size of its enforcement division. You know, this is important to point out. It's the IRS Army, as Lindsey Graham has called it, because it is larger. This new hire group is larger than one of our most closest allies' entire military, the UK.
Think about that for a minute.
The UK has 81,000 members of their military, all combined, all their branches. The IRS will have 87,000 new agents. Now, yes, it's a smaller country, but it just puts into perspective how big just the IRS enforcement division is and how small the taxpayer services portion is. Because that's only $3 billion over 10 years, which we give that to the IRS over 10 years,
$300 million.
That won't even replace their fax machines. So the taxpayer services, which is what they should, their number one priority should be, is take care of people who want to pay their taxes,
right?
Who are trying to follow the rules. And if they owe more or deserve a refund, they get it on time. And you answer your phone. And you work past 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And you don't fax to your house.
I mean, they're going to an office. Yeah.
I mean, well, you're sending taxpayer information. This is the reports we're getting to revenue agents that are working from their home. So they're faxing your taxpayer information to their house.
But they love all the Privacy Act stuff. You know, the federal government.
Well, but when shoes on the other foot, when you start asking questions, they don't want to give you anything. But
can't, because it affects other people's privacy.
People need to understand something. They've already backed off this. You know, is it going to increase? Of course, it's going to increase audits for people under 400,000.
Yeah.
Okay. They're looking at the gig economy. They call it. Those are musicians. Hair shops, you know, barber shops, beauty salons, those kind of places. So the problem is this. This is an agency that is just in terribly, terribly bad shape when it comes to technology. Terribly awful with, if you want to call it, taxpayer services. And like you said, $30 billion?
$3 billion,
excuse me.
Over 10 years.
So it's $300 million a year over 10 years. Every year for 10 years. So let me tell you what that equals to in IRS talk. Nothing. That's a rounding error in their budget. So the real problem here is where this goes. And this is where the ACLJ comes in. We have to be on top of these agencies, whether it's through legislation, whether as in this particular case in federal court. We went to federal court in two different cases to rectify this. It didn't self-correct. And as soon as the Biden administration was put back in office, they went after a group in Texas. Our friends at Liberty Institute handled it. We did a FOIA on it to find out who the heck came up with that letter. It was a letter sent to the tax-exempt organization, Christian organization, where they said, you know, W equals word of God, D equaled Republican. I mean, it was ridiculous. Who would even ask these? The fact that the agency was asking these questions, and now you're just going to throw more money at it and say, here's 87,000 new agents, go out and find money. Which is what their argument is of what this will do.
Yeah, they got to find $400 million a year, which doesn't even pay for their new 80,000 agents.
87,000, yep.
87,000 new agents, because that cost $80 billion. And I mean, I think 60 or 50 of that is going to the new agents. I mean, so the $400 million a year, where is this all adding up? You're still going to be running an IRS deficit. And the issue is this. With the technology available, why not build technology that can do this? That then you don't have to have human beings who have prejudices, built-in politics, issues like that, engaging in the basics of the filing. And then if you need follow-up service, you know, spend the money on taxpayer services so that they can actually interact with someone at the IRS earlier on in the process so that they don't have to be audited.
You know, the thing I don't understand, in the 1950s, the groups like the ACLU, the NAACP, Legal Defense Funds, they would be aggressive against the IRS because the IRS was targeting their clients. The IRS would be targeting liberal groups. And that's not right either, by the way. It's targeting is wrong, period. But now all of a sudden, it's like radio silent. We bring the case for the Tea Party groups, and it's like crickets, nothing from the other side. So I what I don't understand is the double standard. And believe me, this is the problem. So the IRS has been weaponized before to try to crush the civil rights movement. They try to do it to the pro-life movement. So it goes, I can give you the list. Then it was when they hit the Tea Party groups, they cast such a broad net that they acknowledge that the word Tea Party, liberty, freedom, patriot, those were the key words that were the basis upon which, you know, if those were in your name, that's it. You're not going to be an organization recognized for tax-exempt status. But like Jordan said, they didn't even respond. So here's what the American people need to do. You say, no, this is not right. Because if you're filing your refund when you paid your taxes, a lot of you are still waiting for it. Because they can't produce it. We're taking your calls on all this at 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. This is going to wreak havoc for small businesses, which is the backbone of the American economy.
Yeah, this.
So if you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110.
Well, that's, again, their starting point is when they use that $400,000 a year, that is a lot of small businesses right there, even believing that number. So saying it won't be lower than that, but that's a lot of people at the small business level, and then they employ a lot of people. So there's a lot of people who at the end of the day, maybe their employer at a small business takes home around $400,000 a year, somewhere around that. But they also were employing, under 50 people, but 40 plus people, with good jobs.
Yeah.
And they're coming after them. They're coming after the employer of which small business is the backbone of our country. Most people aren't just corporate America who go into a giant office building every year. And even people do go into office buildings. A lot of those offices are small businesses.
So I'm reading from the New York Times article. It says the legislation which Mr. Biden signed, this is the New York Times, this week, will allow the beleaguered agency to hire more than 80,000 employees, upgrade outdated technology systems, improve its ability to respond to taxpayers. We just said that their response to taxpayers is like a meaningless number because that's not going to do a thing. Then listen to what former Congressman Jason Chaffetz said. He's echoing exactly what we said on what's going to happen here. Take a listen.
They are throwing literally tens of billions of dollars at the IRS. Don't tell me that, we're not going to touch anybody under $400,000. You have nothing to worry about. There is no worse feeling in this country than getting a notification from the IRS that you're under audit. And that's what the Democrats are asking for.
Yeah, I mean, that is what the IRS and the Democrats are asking for. Listen, we showed throughout that time we had letters from Democrat members of Congress, and again, Facebook, YouTube, everybody listening, we can produce these for you if you'd like. Ask us before you flag. Always asking the IRS to go after conservatives. So they actually go to the IRS just like they're doing now, with the FBI right now.
Yes.
Right now they're doing it to the FBI with conservative activists. They did it to parents going to school board meetings. So they utilize all these different agencies of the federal government that have a law enforcement kind of division, which IRS does too.
Of course.
And they use them to target political opponents. In the letters they sent, they never include liberal groups. Like, Black Lives Matter, that was all run horribly bad, right? All that money they took in and it's kind of disappearing, no accountability, weren't filing 990s. Where is that? I mean, that's like a criminal audit at that level. But you won't find any Democrats sending a letter to the IRS saying, you need to really investigate Black Lives Matter. The group, not the term.
But of course not, because again, this is the and by the way, you're right, Congress launched this whole thing, members of Congress writing letters, and then Lois Lerner, there's emails, and we got these in our discovery, where they actually said, let's see if we can get the FEC, Federal Election Commission, the Department of Justice criminal. If we could just bring one criminal case, they said, just one criminal case, we can shut this down. What is shutting down? Conservative free speech? The ACLU should have been filing the case with us in actuality. But now you're going to weaponize it more by throwing so much money at it that they get 87,000 new agents. So here's what it is. The American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ Action. All of our capabilities, legislatively, in Washington, D.C., in federal court, in, like I said, in the halls of Congress, we are there for you, and fighting for your family. And this is where you come in. We are, as I said earlier, we are $135,587.02 as of this morning, behind where we were this date last year. We want to close that gap. If you're able to support the work of the ACLJ, this is a great day to do it. We're in our matching challenge campaign. We're getting near the end of it here, folks. About a week or so to go. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And Jordan's going to let you know the particular in this, folks. But we've got a group of donors that are going to match your gift. So that's really, really important. Let's explain that.
Yeah, that's right. So we have a group of donors. They are ready to match your donation, but you have to make the initial donation. You are the trigger that causes the match. Because what they've said is, hey, we will match all the donations that come through. But that means that you've got to make that initial step to make the donation. So if you make a $15 donation right now at aclj.org, and that's what's charged on your card, it'll be matched by $15 from one of our donors. So it's like $30 for the ACLJ. So you do $25, that's like $50. This is why these are critical months for us at the ACLJ, because we have the group of donors ready to match all those donations and really increase our ability to continue to do the work that we do, and hopefully have some resources at the end to expand the work that we do. All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your phone calls to 1-800-684-3110. I'd love to get your thoughts on the increased size of the IRS. Do you believe the New York Times is just a conspiracy theory that the IRS just might, in fact, be targeting conservatives, since they've been caught doing that before, and now that they'll have double the size of staff and they've got a friendly administration in place who won't hold them accountable? 1-800-684-3110 to weigh in on that.
All right, we're going to switch gears for a moment here, and that is, you know, the ACLJ is also front and center on the pro-life issue. In fact, Jordan and I are going to be on a call with the state this afternoon working on pro-life legislation issues in light of Dobbs. But New York has been particularly hostile to pro-life causes. And CeCe Hiles here and heads up a lot of this work. And CeCe, you've got the New York governor who is saying, basically, there was two well-known pro-life protesters went into an abortion clinic and shouted, "Stop killing babies," which is called trespass. And she comes out condemning it unbelievably strong. Okay, so she said, this is horrible. This is, you know, terrible. Meanwhile, in her state, pro-life women's pregnancy centers have been firebombed, and she says nothing.
Absolutely. And that's the, again, you know, the pro-abortion spin and the abortion distortion is that, you know, New York governor is trying to condemn these actions, like you said, of someone just simply going into an abortion clinic and saying, "Stop killing babies." And she's outraged. The governor's outraged. And yet you can actually firebomb a pregnancy resource center, and then you have crickets because they don't care about that. It's completely ridiculous. Even the attorney general made a statement that everyone should be able to make decisions about their bodies without fear of intimidation or violence. We've taken legal action against them before, and I won't hesitate to use the full force of my office again. And that's against the pro-life demonstrators. But if you want to go into a clinic and keep your baby, they don't care if there's fear or intimidation or violence used for that. So they only want to protect your right to abortion, not your right to keep a baby.
Well, it's also here, too, when you look at states like New York and California, these women's crisis pregnancy centers are the front lines on this, because you're not going to get legislation through that's positive for the life issue. So you've got to protect the pro-life centers here, because they are the front lines in New York. So you've got to be able to adapt your strategies. In some states, you're working to get the right legislation through. In others, you're fighting just to keep these pro-life crisis pregnancy centers operating.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that's where you still have to realize that battle is still very real. Just because of overturning Roe versus Wade does not mean that states like New York are going to treat. In fact, I think they have increased their attacks. That's why We've got so many clients right now, and working with additional potential clients as well, because they're actually under more scrutiny and more legal challenges and more threats from elected officials, from government officials, not from activists, from elected officials. And by the way, they don't acknowledge, you know, a couple pro-life protesters went into an abortion clinic in Brooklyn and protested. They didn't hurt anybody. It was, I guess, maybe they made some noise. It was criminal what they did. Misdemeanors. The same governor condemning that like it is the end of the world has said nothing about the firebombing of the pro-life pregnancy center in Buffalo, which is a felony. Destroying equipment, destroying property, literally burned out, including, I think, like machines, like the ultrasound machines, not cheap equipment.
Yeah.
And we have photos of it up right now. They don't talk about that. They talk about two vocal protesters, by the way, in New York City, of all places. Like, they're not used to people being loud and obnoxious.
Well, at least in New York City's problems right now.
Yeah, but they've made it a priority.
Yeah.
So while you've got people being punched in the streets, shoved into subways, their priority in New York is to go after peaceful protesters.
Yeah, so here's the other thing that we have to, I want to put this in perspective. We have been defending these pro-life centers for a very long time, including the Supreme Court of the United States, where they were trying to force the pro-life center, CC, to give a pro-abortion message. In fact, a referral to abortion clinics. They were mandating that under California law. Now, we won at the Supreme Court, but the person we sued, Becerra, is now the head of HHS. So these are real fights right now. And frankly, folks, the Dobbs decision is great. Implementing it is a state-by-state nuanced approach. It's very, very technical. We've got a whole team of lawyers on it. We're representing centers up in New York as well. But this is a real fight, Cece, for life here. Look, it's good that the club of Roe versus Wade is off.
Right.
That's great. But now the battle begins.
It is. The battle's in the states. And you know, interestingly, just about 2 weeks after the Pregnancy Resource Center in New York was firebombed, and of course, the governor was completely silent, about 2 weeks later, she signed a bill into law that actually investigates any kind of center that does not provide abortion. That's the only centers they care about. They're going in, and this law
say
basically
that again to everybody. You need to hear this.
It's
say
a that law again. That she signed. The New York governor signed in, into being that only investigates centers that do not provide abortion. That's who they're targeting. And they ask for basically anything. And so we're representing several of the centers, PRCs, the Pregnancy Resource Centers in New York, and we expect to be representing a lot more in the coming days. But these are the battles that we fight on a day-to-day basis for the crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy resource centers across the nation.
I'm going to tell you what you got to do here, okay? This is, and we'll get into this some more in the weeks ahead, because we can't even give you the details of some of the things Jordan and I are working on this afternoon with the states, because this, folks, Planned Parenthood, you think they're not taking this lying down. So, you know, they're out there very, very aggressive on these things, and we're having to be very aggressive too, which is no problem. But that's because of your support to the ACLJ that we can do all of this. And that's the key critical part here. I mean, Jordan and I are literally working with State Attorney General this afternoon on how to get through a pro-life perspective in the law without having, when you've got all these pro-abortion groups spending tons and tons of money, I mean tons of money, to come up with a contrary position. They're raising off of this tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I think it's interesting where in the pro-life community, people expected that that there would be a big change with the Dobbs case and that maybe Roe versus Wade would be overturned. And I think that, but they were still, you know, saying, yeah, but even until the draft opinion was leaked, people weren't sure that Roe versus Wade would actually be declared null and void, no longer law of the land. But I think the abortion industry, interestingly enough, has known since Roe versus Wade that legally the holding was so suspect that one day it could go down if the right justices were appointed. And they were.
Yes.
So they were ready a couple of years ago.
Yes.
They were spending money on a battle because they have $1 billion at their disposal, at a battle that they might not have to fight tomorrow, but they were ready to go whenever it happened. So they were preparing for a post-Roe world because they knew legally this whole right to private, the creation of it, was legally suspect, and that it was highly criticized by scholars on both viewpoints, left and right, so that one day, if it happens, they were ready. They had their rainy day fund ready.
Yeah, well, it is, and they're using it, and we're using ours too. And that's where you come in, folks. It makes a huge difference. If you've ever thought about supporting the work of the ACLJ, or you are a donor of the ACLJ, this would be a great day to add your support. I told you, we're about $135,000 behind where we were last year. We want to close that gap in the next several days. That's where you come in. Any amount you donate, if you're able, we get a matching gift for. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. for your gift. It makes a huge difference. We're, like I said, we're in the last few days here. Support the work if you're able at ACLJ.org. We'll be back. We've got a lot more ahead, including your phone calls on this IRS matter when we come back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at ACLJ.org.
You informed and engaged now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. So we talked about these increased size of the IRS, which, by the way, I want to add, they go after pro-life groups too. We're just talking about the life issues. That's another way the government will go after these pro-life groups. It's not, won't just be at the state level, won't just be through governments trying to shut them down at the city level or state level. I would suspect the IRS will be coming after them, too, in the post-Roe era. And it's just because we have evidence of them doing it in recent history, in very recent history, that they have taken these positions. I want to go right to the phones in this segment. 1-800-684-3110. If you're just joining us, 1-800-684-3110. We're talking about this because the New York Times called it a conspiracy theory.
That we're making this up. That the IRS didn't target. They did a little targeting. They did a lot of targeting. We've got a consent decree where they acknowledged they were doing the targeting. And the New York Times could try to call it something else, but that's what it is. And we got a monetary judgment that was seven figures. So there you go.
Yeah. So I want to go to the phones. Preston in Nevada on line one. Hey, Preston.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate the work you guys do. Just a quick comment on the IRS. I'm an attorney. I have a client who owes the IRS $65,000, not disputing it, wants to pay it, needs to make a payment arrangement.
Right.
Last Thursday, received a visit at lunchtime from three IRS agents. So I would have a significant issue as to whether or not the IRS has significant resources to do their job now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, here's the problem, Preston. And as a tax lawyer, I appreciate this, and I know you do too. $65,000 sounds like a lot of money, and it's not that it's insignificant. That's enough for them to work something out. They could do an offer in compromise. They could do a payment plan. The problem is they don't even respond to communication. Now, I don't know, Preston, have you been able to get responses out of them? Most lawyers I'm talking to and accountants are saying they'll send a letter and maybe they get something back 3 months later.
No, I filed the necessary power of attorney.
Yes,
and
the 2848.
And then, 2848, followed up with a phone call, asked for a response, and it's been a week now and I have not even received a call.
Yeah, they won't even acknowledge the receipt of your power of attorney. I mean, this is how bad it is. So, but they could send three agents out there.
They don't need more agents. They need more customer service.
Customer service, technology, that works. But they sent three agents out there, so they had plenty of agents.
Plenty of agents to go out.
Answer the lawyer.
That's three agents over 60 grand.
Now, think about that for a minute.
So when they say, oh, they don't care about anything that's more than, it's got to be 400 grand plus. Really? Because they never target the people who have lots. And listen, he's got a lawyer.
Yeah.
So they're not responding. Now, they're still harassing the guy who's
first
ready
of all,
to comply.
Right.
But his lawyer can't get a receipt of
his power of attorney. So what the IRS requires is when you represent a client, you fill out a form. It's called a Form 2848. It's a power of attorney. And they're supposed to acknowledge it immediately and then contact you, not the client. But of course, they didn't do that. But like Jordan said, they don't have any money, but they could send out three revenue agents for $65,000 claim.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Ignoring his lawyer. And I mean, the lawyer just called us in. I mean, this is just so you understand how bad the IRS is run. I mean, it's like a DMV nationwide, and a bad DMV at that. Because at the DMV, they have computers. The IRS, they still use typewriters and fax machines.
IBM Selectrics.
I mean, it's again, you heard callers talk about what it's like. That's at the main headquarters, you know. And so again, then why on earth would the liberal media and the left in general love a more powerful federal government? Yet they call us the fascist authoritarians. But authoritarianism is all about centralizing power at the national level. They still, by the way, want to defund the local police. They just want to fund the federal. They love the federal cops because they're so politicized. The FBI, IRS, they come in with all their political bias against conservatives.
But they had enough money to send three revenue agents for a $65,000 tax claim. Now, think about that for a minute. Folks, we're going to take your calls. Glad to hear from lawyers and tax accountants and others. 1-800-684-3110, small businesses as well. But folks, this is why stand with, we're not just talking about it here, we take action. So we want to encourage you to support the work of the ACLG. We're in a matching challenge campaign. Go to aclj.org, or if you're watching right now, just click on the link, support the work of the ACLG. Back with more in a moment.
All right, welcome back to Secular. We are taking your calls, too, at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk a little about the situation, unfortunately, with the Iran nuclear deal. Yes, the potential comeback of that. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I want to take Tara's call from New York on line three. Hey, Tara.
Hi.
Hey.
First, thank you for taking my call. Sure. And I've been supporting you guys for several years now.
We appreciate
because
that.
Of the work you do.
Thank you.
So my concern is I'm openly Christian. I run a blog page. And, like, I'm scared. I'll be honest. I'm very scared about this IRS thing. Like, what do I do, my husband and I do, as just general, you know, citizens that don't have money for a lawyer if we're audited by the IRS?
I mean, look, Tara, this is a real problem. And Wes and I were just, Wes is in here to talk about Iran, but we were talking about another matter, and it's exactly what Wes just said. You know, you go to the IRS, they say, well, we want to talk to your lawyer. You know, most people in America, you cannot afford a tax lawyer.
Yeah, this is the low-hanging fruit for the Internal Revenue Service. Yes. They do not go after billionaires and multimillionaires because they can afford to have CPAs and tax lawyers and be tied up with the IRS in litigation for years. They go for people who they know cannot afford legal representation, and so therefore you're left with a choice. Pay them or not and get penalized by them, or they take your business or your property. And that's where they're going in the next few years with this new expanded IRS.
You mentioned this is true. I mean, pastors are being audited.
Yes.
This is happening. And because there's like housing exemptions for pastors, parsonage exemptions, it's called. And all of these, what you called low-hanging fruit, or what Tara was talking about, Jordan, is if three agents could show up, and we just had a lawyer on here, Preston called. If three agents can show up over a $65,000 delinquency, they got enough agents. What they need is to not tell people that owe $2,500, bring your tax lawyer or your accountant, because there's no customer service. There's no taxpayer service within the IRS. It's a joke. And that's the problem with all of this. And the American people should not be tolerating this. But listen, Joe Biden's claiming this is a win. Don't kid yourself. They get this package through, and this is like a legislative victory for them.
Yeah, I mean,
they're running on it.
Yes. They think this is great. Now, the IRS portion, they have played down.
Yeah.
Because when that gets pulled, of course, it pulls horrible amongst both Democrats and Republicans. So they don't want to talk about that aspect. That's why they've got their media out there saying it's missed this bad information, flag it, to say that the IRS has increased, is army-sized with 87,000 new agents. But I asked the New York Times this. The IRS itself put up on its website that they were looking for people who would be ready to shoot to kill.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, ultimately, that has been changed. First, they had to put it back up because they actually did put it up. Then they edited it. But the mainstream media doesn't want to include that, right?
I mean, think about that for a moment. They said you have to have special agents of the IRS be prepared to use lethal force.
Yeah, not just to protect yourself.
This is part of your job description. Now, they did pull it down, right, Will?
First, they just pulled it down. Then they edited it and posted it back up. But again, that's not fake. That's not conspiracy. It's shocking, but it's true. And the New York Times, though, they don't want people talking about this IRS issue. It is the one part of this legislation that resonates the most quickly with American people, and they dislike so much, so strong.
Are these little? And we're going to go to the situation in Iran. But these legislative wins, quote unquote, that President Biden got through, how is that playing politically for them?
Politically, right now, it looks like he's checking boxes and getting things done. So if you are a 10,000 foot voter, so you don't really make your decision until later, you're not as impacted by the New York Times or shows like ours. So not people listening to this, not people who are tuned in on either side of the aisle. But you know, still you're going to vote in the midterm election, so you're a little bit more educated. You will look to see, are they getting anything done? And sometimes that's like the baseline. Oh, well, they're getting things done. And they don't look past that. And the Democrats don't really want you to look past that either. They don't want you to see, yeah, getting things done is a bigger federal government. They're going to audit you. So instead, it's just, can we rack up, quote unquote, wins?
Yeah.
And so I think that's how we get to this Iran issue, too. Why is there a rush right now to get to that deal? It's not geopolitics. It's midterm election.
So the Iran deal, supposedly, Wes, Colonel Smith, we gave a last proposal. We were not going to take the Revolutionary Guard, this is the United States position, off the terror watch list. And that was supposed to be the final deal. So what's happened now?
Yeah, on August the 8th, and the European Union are now acting as our mediators, arbitrators with Iran, since we don't have direct negotiations. They sent them what they said, what we said, was the final offer. That was August the 8th. And we were waiting on Iran's reply. Iran replied last week, and they want to continue the negotiations, which the Biden administration has once again agreed to. If Iran continues to do this, and if we accept what their counteroffer is, Jay, it is a game changer. Iran will have billions of dollars in cash. They will be able to re-enter the oil market legally. They will have a nuclear weapon and the ballistic missile, the vehicle necessary to send that nuclear weapon
so
around.
So there is no, Wes, there is no deal. There is no Iran nuclear deal. Let's be clear.
No.
There's no way this stops Iran from doing. I don't think Iran will be a nuclear power, though. The Israelis and the Arab partners in the region are not going to allow it.
Yeah. What the Biden administration is doing is they can continue to negotiate. It defies logic and common sense. Iran has come back. Of course, they've always wanted all sanctions lifted. But a few months ago, the IAEA, the agency for the UN that investigates atomic energy around the world, they found that there were three sites in Iran, undeclared sites, where there was nuclear residue. Part of what's coming back in this renewed JCPOA, the Iranians are demanding that the IAEA drop that investigation, as well as lifting all sanctions.
What do you think is going to happen, Wes?
You know, my fear is they will come back, and at some point, again, you've been talking about how the Biden administration is trying to check off political wins ahead of the November elections. I think the Biden administration is inclined to accept it so they can check it off. The only thing that we will probably stand firm on is not taking the Revolutionary Guard Corps off the terrorism list. But other than that, I fully expect we're going to lift all sanctions. It will make what President Obama gave the Iranians in 2015, it will make that look like a modest windfall compared to what we are going to give the Iranians in billions and billions of dollars. The last time they got this kind of money, they not only beefed up their Guard Corps and their own ballistic missile research and their nuclear program, it was at that time that they overthrew the government in Yemen through the Houthi rebels, and they sent thousands of rockets to Hezbollah and Hamas.
Yeah, and you've got, so they're the largest exporter of terrorism, but then you got Salman Rushdie gets attacked by an individual who's in communication with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, okay? It's already been established. So they're active there. Our former Secretary of State has to have extra protection. Why? Because they're on hit list from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, which is the Iranian government.
Yeah, they filed charges against the person from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard that was trying to recruit. This was interesting. Like professionals in America.
Yep.
Professional hitmen and like criminals to carry out the murders, killings of Mike Pompeo and some other U.S. officials. But the bounty, just on Pompeo, is $1 million.
Yep.
So what Iran's Revolutionary Guard is trying to do in the U.S. is find bad actors who just don't care because it's $1 million bounty. And I'm sure that bounty goes on and on up as, again, they have – these are bad guys. Just the fact
really
that we
bad.
Could say that, as and that will be factually supported by the State Department. They have said that. They've
yes.
come out. And you can see it if you're around Mike Pompeo, the amount of security he has, and some of the other officials. So this is not denial. And yet you would negotiate with these guys on nuclear weapons.
Well, that, and that's the last thing here, Wes.
They're trying to kill American officials.
As they're trying to assassinate American officials and well-known authors, the Biden administration so desperate to have a deal that they go back to the table.
Yeah, we are willing to negotiate. And not just negotiate, Jay. We're willing to make concessions, even though the International Atomic Energy Agency has said even recently that if they choose to, they can go from 60% enriched uranium, which they have now, to the 90% weapons grade in a matter of 3 weeks. And now they have over a pound of this uranium. It takes about over 100 pounds. It takes about 90 pounds to produce one bomb. The IAEA is saying that they are on the verge of having a nuclear weapon.
This, folks, you got to understand, and our international offices are on top of this. Our work at the UN is on top of this. I mean, we are engaged on all of these issues. Across the board, I mean, for today, the pro-life issue, IRS targeting, situation in the Middle East. I mean, we've been to the International Criminal Court in The Hague. We go to and litigate it. We've been to the UN on these issues. That's where your support is so critical to the work of the American Center for Law and Justice. We're in a matching challenge campaign, folks. And we're, like I said, we're about $135,000 behind where we were last year. I want to close that gap. It's very important. We've got some big initiatives coming in the next year. Big. And your support and our budget makes all the difference. If you've not yet supported the work of the ACLJ, I encourage you to do so right now. Go to ACLJ.org, make that online gift. Any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for.
Yeah, it's a great time. ACLJ.org. And you'd be part of the matching challenge. And again, because it's a unique time, really, this is when we need you to step up if you're able to financially, because we got a group of donors that have stepped up. But they only can match the donations that happen. You've got to make that donation happen to trigger the match. Donate today at aclj.org. If you want to talk to us on air, IRS, Iran, we'll take your calls. We get back, 1-800-684-3110. Secular. We are taking your phone calls too at 1-800-684-3110. This is the same New York Times article that's calling you, you know, gaslighting you as a conspiracy theorist for the deadly force posting from the IRS, for the targeting of conservatives, even though the New York Times admits it. They try to play it down, and then they call it a conspiracy theory, even though they do admit it. So, I mean, it's all, you know, this article, even by the New York Times, it's all over the place because it's trying to get confuse you about what you actually believe and what you've seen. I mean, remember the whole deadly force that we were talking about? They said, quote, still, the IRS, is from the New York Times, the IRS recently altered a job posting for criminal investigators amid the backlash, deleting that one of the role's major duties was to, quote, be willing to use deadly force if necessary. The amended ad now lists, quote, be legally allowed to carry a firearm as a key requirement. And this is the IRS spokesperson. Listen to this one. The wording change on one web page followed continued misstatements and inaccuracies about IRS employees carrying weapons. The misstatements and inaccuracies were not by outside individuals. And they're again trying to confuse you there. It was by the IRS themselves. Their folks putting together what they put out on the website. I can't write for the IRS.gov. They were writing for IRS.gov. So, again, we'll take your calls on this 1-800-684-3110. But I want to go to Harry Hutchinson, too, because, Harry, this idea, again, that it's – we've talked about it throughout the show, this narrative from the left. They love law enforcement when it's politicized at the federal level. They want to defund it when it's about protecting you at the local level.
I think that's precisely correct. So they hate law enforcement at the local level because police officers are legitimately enforcing laws designed to protect people. They love to expand the size of the federal government bureaucracy because the federal government bureaucracy has one job and one job only, enforcing compliance upon free people, shutting down, for instance, conservative organizations, preventing them from exercising their rights to freedom of speech, perhaps shutting down hair salons, restaurants, and other small businesses where free people operate. So at the end of the day, the left has always been committed for the last 100 years. They've been committed to expanding the size and scope of government because they believe the government knows best. And so the New York Times is simply falling into this left-wing trap.
But Harry, this is what's fascinating to me. In the 1950s, it was groups like the, you know, government entities like the IRS that was targeting, if you remember, groups like the NAACP and wanted their donor lists. I mean, a lot of harassment going on, sometimes with the state level, sometimes at the federal level. Now they've had this like awakening that it's okay now if it's you can target conservatives, then it's okay. It wasn't so good in the 1950s when they did it, and I would have been fighting those cases too, by the way.
I think you raise a very good point, but I also think that what's happened to the left in the United States is that they have been converted ideologically to increasing the size and scope of government. Keep in mind that the Inflation Reduction Act, which allows for the hiring of 87,000 additional IRS auditors.
When you say that, it's still mind-boggling to me. 87,000 IRS agents. Go ahead.
So the law expands effectively the size and scope of government because in order for the Inflation Reduction Act to pass muster under the reconciliation rules in the Senate, guess what? They had to claim that they were raising money. And yes, they can now claim, although I don't believe them, that they are going to raise hundreds of billions of dollars on the backs of the American
exactly.
people. And keep in mind, there are only 400 billionaires in the United States. So where are they going to get all this revenue? They are going to get this revenue from working class people, from small businesses and other individuals.
100%.
Yeah. I want to go to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Charlie in Georgia on line one. Hey, Charlie.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, my thought goes back a few years because this targeting by the IRS,
yep.
I don't see it'll stop unless the individual providing the direction has some personal consequences. Lois Lerner retired with a full pension. A couple years later, I believe ACLJ was back in with her successor for doing the same thing, and now we're talking about it again. So unless there's some criminal charges or personal
for there to be criminal charges, you have to have criminal intent.
And you have to have a DOJ willing to
do it. So that's not going to happen. Let me say something here. Because I'm holding in my hand this is United States District Court for the District of Columbia, Lynchpins of Liberty et al., which was a lot of other groups, that's what that means, versus the United States of America. And this is called a consent order. And the IRS in this acknowledges all the wrongdoing, redid their department supposedly, and I think they did until the new administration went in, and it stopped for about 3.5 years. We got a monetary judgment. Some people were held accountable. People lost their jobs. But where you're right, Charlie, is people then, administrations, this is where folks, elections have consequences.
Yeah, this is
and
shit.
The new team came in, and the new team ignored it.
Yeah, under Trump, You had an IRS that was totally bludgeoned. I mean, that's what the word Washington Post used. By us, they said bludgeoned. And their budget was slashed because they were inappropriately using their budget to target Americans. And again, they weren't modernizing. And they weren't being responsive to the American people. But you saw immediately. Now, that was a kind of a one-off when it happened to, I think, the Christian group. We didn't hear in mass that happening.
Right.
But it was still inappropriate and wrong. What I'm worried about happening again is, remember, when these Tea Party groups got it, they didn't tell them, like, we sent out 100 of or 1,000 more of these letters. And we believe that even during that case, we only really heard from the groups who are willing to fight back against the IRS.
Because a lot of people do not want to do it.
Most don't want the IRS because their name down, you know, you got to, if you're starting a new C3 or C4, you've got to put your name down on it.
You're exactly right. Let's take Wendy's call because this show gives you the whole problem. Wendy, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. So my husband and I are making payments to the IRS because we have some tax debt.
Yep.
And we had identity theft, which is a nightmare in and of itself.
Sure is.
And so we were trying to get a hold of them, the IRS, to let them know, hey, we need to give you new checking information, et cetera. And it actually took my husband 2 days of being on hold or getting cut off or not even answering the phone.
Yeah. This is, Wendy, this is the problem. And they're only going to get, which sounds like a lot of money, it is nothing. $30 million a year over every year for 10 years? I mean, it's nothing. Folks, they're institutionally incapable of self-correcting. That's why you got to stand with us at the ACLJ so we can fight back on this. Jordan's going to let you know, folks, we're $135,000 roughly behind where we were last year. I want to close that gap in our matching challenge. This is the last week. Your support makes a huge difference here at ACLJ.org.
Yeah, that's right. And so I encourage you to go to ACLJ.org, and if you can, donate today. We've got our matching challenge where, again, whatever you donate is matched by another group of donors. But they only take action if you make that initial donation. So to get the match, you got to take that initial action. So we encourage you to make that donation today at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.